supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. SEPTA has been working for nearly a decade to replace its tokens and paper tickets with a modern fare system called SEPTA Key. But after last year's debut, hundreds of riders have run into trouble using the key's confusing kiosks. Customers accidentally got several cards when they tried to add money to them. And now, SEPTA says it has a fix. Though, as Jim Saxa of WHYY's Plan Philly reports, SEPTA seems to be treating just one symptom instead of finding a cure for what's ailing its customers.
If you've tried to add money to your SEPTA Key account and accidentally ordered a second fare card, you're not alone. It's happened to almost everyone who's tried it. The problem? The Key's kiosks are confusing. Now, SEPTA is testing out a tweak to fix that. They're trying it out on a kiosk at the authority's headquarters on Market Street in Center City. So, we went to check it out. And we grabbed Brian McIntyre. He's the chief design officer of Think Company, a user experience design firm based in Philadelphia. It's his job to make systems like this one easy to use.
All right, well, I need a card. So it says Get Key Card. All right, I think that's pretty clear.
McIntyre taps the screen and begins the process. Immediately, he's confronted with a screen full of legalese. It's the card's terms and conditions.
There is a lot of stuff I don't feel like reading. So I'm not going to read it. Neither is anybody. No one's going to read that.
A system with good user experience design, or UX, is so easy to use, it feels almost instinctive. The menu options seem natural. The terms make intuitive sense. With good UX, you don't think and read, you just do. With SEPTA Key's UX, you think and read, and then maybe think and read some more, and you're still going to end up a bit confused. For example,
I'm going to say add travel wallet. That is not what I would expect that to say. I don't even know what a travel wallet is.
Travel wallet is the term for the money on a key card. It's the thing that replaces tokens and lets people ride at the discounted rate, $2 instead of $2.50. But when you think of adding money to your key, the phrase travel wallet doesn't naturally spring to mind. McIntyre says it's needlessly confusing terminology.
All they got to do is change the language. That's all they got to do. They just have to say, put money on my card.
McIntyre recently led a pro bono design team that came up with 27 pages of recommendations to improve these kiosks for riders. Suggestions like reduce the number of menu options and avoid jargon. But SEPTA says it has no plans at this time to work on those types of issues. Right now, all the authority is trying to do is make it so people stop accidentally getting another card when they're trying to add money to their account. The problem was that people would touch the kiosk screen first, like how you get cash from an ATM or order a hoagie from Wawa. We've been trained to touch first. But SEPTA's kiosks are already on, and touching the old screen begins the process of getting a new card. But if you wanted to reload your key, you were supposed to tap it against a nearby card reader first, although the instructions on the screen were easy to miss. Confused? Well, don't worry about it. McIntyre says after checking out the new system,
yeah, you're right, it'll fix that problem.
Now, if you wanted to reload your key card, the screen clearly tells you to tap it against the card reader on the kiosk. And if you accidentally get a second one, well, that's on you. If the pilot goes well, the new interface will roll out system-wide in a few weeks.
They solved that main problem. It's all about iteration, incremental change. That's okay.
And McIntyre remains hopeful that this is just the first of many user experience fixes SEPTA makes as it crawls toward a modern fare system.
We're getting there. Baby steps. Right?
Jim Saxa, WHYY News.
It'll take some dogged determination to get daytime chores completed during these dog days of summer. Joining me to explain is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. And Derek, I suppose it's in a roundabout way of saying what I'm loath to admit to myself.
That we're losing minutes of sunlight?
You said it.
Oh, yes, I did. Well, it's one of those unfortunate truths of how the cycle of the seasons go, is that here we are, Some of us may be feeling like we're just getting into the full swing of summer, but it's clearly becoming obvious that we're starting to lose minutes of daylight on our day. In fact, right about now, we're about 25 minutes off of where we were for sunset back at the summer solstice in June, and more than 30 minutes off sunrises. So that's a whole hour of daylight change from the solstice.
Well, I suppose glass half full, that means there are extended opportunities for viewing what's available in the night sky.
And the night sky still has plenty for us to see. Jupiter, the largest planet of our solar system, glows beautifully in the evening sky. Over on the western horizon, we can still see it just after sunset for about an hour and a half or two after sunset, followed, though, by Saturn. Saturn is around in the south, so to the left of where Jupiter is, and it's still available well into the night, so we can see it without much difficulty. Binoculars work great for both of those. But if you happen to be a morning person, this is a great time to catch Venus dominating the pre-dawn sky. 3:30 a.m. it comes up above the horizon, but you can hang until as late as 5 a.m. in bed before you get up to go take a look for Venus before sunlight takes over the morning sky.
Let's focus a little closer on the planets. Opportunity is still having at it on Mars.
Yes, indeed. This is one of the most amazing stories of successful technology that I can think of. Here we have a rover out on the planet Mars going about its business of collecting scientific information, helping us to better understand how Mars has come to be, how Mars is. The intriguing part is that this is now some 13 years after it initially landed on Mars, when its original mission was slated for 9 months at the most, and now headed off on a new adventure where it's going to drop down into a crater to examine a gully system that may have been formed by water, but we're going to do our best to use this device to help us better understand the nature of that gully system that we're seeing along the side of the crater wall.
Finally, we're 1 week out from a total solar eclipse traversing the United States. For those of us stuck in the Philadelphia region, entice us with your plans.
I'm actually going to St. Joseph, Missouri, which is almost right in the middle of the path of totality across the U.S., where for 2 minutes and 40 seconds I'll be able to stand in the shadow of the moon. My intent being there is to report back to the Delaware Valley through the Franklin Institute's Facebook page. I'll be streaming live on Facebook to bring people an account of what it seems to be like out there. I'll be at a location where I'm expecting there will be thousands of other people observing. I'll be working with a small group of astronomer friends. We'll be doing our best to give people all the information they need to help them enjoy the experience there. But you can still enjoy the experience here. Of course, the Franklin Institute will have activities and viewing opportunities over on the Parkway, and we invite you to join us over there if you like. This eclipse is going to do more for people to share the experience than any other astronomical event ever in the history of observing. And that's because so many of us have smartphones or computer devices. This will be the first time in history that so many people can be so well connected through a science event.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight. Tributes keep coming in for Odunde founder Lois Fernandez, who died yesterday. WHYY's Annette John Hall has more about a local visionary who brought African culture to Philadelphia more than 40 years ago.
Lois Fernandez, who died in her sleep on Sunday at 81, is being hailed by Philadelphians as a cultural icon and city treasure. Her Odunde Festival instilled pride in generations of African Americans, including City Councilman Kenyatta Johnson.
Beautiful, strong, passionate about improving the quality of life, but not only to the African Americans, but for people as a whole.
Johnson grew up attending Odunde every summer. As a kid, he watched as Fernandez grew the festival from a one-block gathering on South Street to one of the largest African cultural festivals in the country. It drew thousands of people from all over the world and generated hundreds of thousands of dollars of revenue for the city.
Never in my mom's wildest dreams did she think that Odunde would grow to this level.
Lois Fernandez's daughter, Bumi, says they were best friends. Her last words to her mother Saturday night were, "I love you."
When you have that type of life with your mother, it's very hard to feel sad or have any regrets because me and my mom, we maxed out.
Philadelphia activist Bilal Qayyum was friends with Fernandez for close to 50 years. He says Fernandez left the future of Odunde in capable hands.
Bumi, her daughter, mirrored her work, and for the last couple of years, it's been Bumi.
Bumi Fernandez says her mother can rest assured Odunde's legacy is intact. And she says her mother, who suffered chronic pain from rheumatoid arthritis, can finally rest in peace. Annette John Hall, WHYY News.
That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yaakov, Kimberly Haas, and Brett Rader. Tomorrow evening, we'll hear from behavioral health experts on how to talk with children about Saturday's violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. And we'd like to hear from parents in our region. How are you talking to your kids about racism and the events in Charlottesville? Record a voice memo on your phone and email it to us at newsworks@whyy.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.